Our conference at this Mass will be on devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is most appropriate that the beginning of the new year should be the feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God. In the nature of things, the first day of a new year reminds us of the beginning of things, the beginning of the world, when God brought the universe into existence out of nothing. Today, therefore, we commemorate the creation of the world. This has, in fact, been the Church's mind from the early centuries. Today also we commemorate the beginning of the human race, when God brought into the world our first parents. We celebrate the origins of mankind. But as we know, the human race lost the divine friendship, and except for God's mercy, would never have been able to enjoy the heavenly vision for which man had originally been made. At a point in time, as faith tells us, the Son of God graciously decided to become man, that as man he might redeem us and restore us to the life of grace and be lost. New Year's Day, therefore, is a third and most important commemoration, not just the beginning of the universe or of the human race, but the beginning of the supernatural life. If we ask why, the reason is that the Incarnation is the source and origin of all the graces that mankind, from the fall of Adam to the end of the world, has received, is receiving, and will receive. This does not mean, of course, that until Christ came into the world, no one received grace, either actual or sanctifying. Otherwise, Our Lady, who surely came before her Son, could not have been, which he surely was, not merely possessed of, but, we believe, full of grace. It does mean, however, that with the Incarnation, we have the foundation, the font, the source, the cause of the supernatural life of every human being since the fall of Adam and until the end of time. It is for this reason that the Church, in her new liturgy, has made New Year's Day the solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. Since Christ is the source and origin of our restored supernatural life, what more appropriate day could there be for New Year's Day to celebrate this mystery which is also a fact of history. But more still, it was Mary's acceptance of the divine motherhood that gave us Jesus Christ. Two decisions were made to give mankind back the supernatural life it had lost. One in heaven by the Trinity deciding to send the second person of the Trinity into the world, and the other on earth by Mary. Happily, the two decisions coincided. This is the reason why we simply and casually juxtapose two titles of Our Lady at the beginning of her litany. We address her as Mother of Christ and Mother of Divine Grace. She is the Mother of Divine Grace because she is the Mother of Christ, and Christ is God. And all the grace we receive was made by God, by all three persons, but merited by the Son of God. And the meriting began in the womb of Mary. The moment he acquired his human will, he began to merit our salvation and the divine life, that thanks to him and her, we now enjoy. We might then say that New Year's Day is the birthday to supernatural life of the human race, thanks to Mary. That is why she is not only the Mother of Christ and the Mother of God, but the Mother of the Church, the Mother of supernatural life, having given us the one through whom and by whom this life began. So much for a brief overview of New Year's Day. On this feast day of Our Lady, therefore, a holy day of obligation, and the octave of Christmas, I think we should review our devotion to the Blessed Virgin and ask ourselves what we can do to improve it. Needless to say, devotion to the Blessed Virgin is one of the cardinal features of the Catholic faith. You can almost identify a Catholic by his or her devotion to Mary, as I find out very simply when, say, I'm being driven from wherever I am going to, usually the airport, and as I get into the car, whoever the chauffeur is, I see, let's say, a Hail Mary. In a moment, I find out if he's a Protestant. So then I say the Hail Mary alone. Catholicism means devotion to the Blessed Virgin. At first sight, devotion suggests strong affectivity and may imply a certain sentimentality. And for some people, devotion to Our Lady may be very affective. When you see grown men, executives, on their bicycles, swerving around a corner in the city of Rome, with a shrine of the Madonna in the niche of some building, holding the bicycle with the left hand and wafting a kiss towards the Madonna with the right hand, I call that affectivity. Some have it, some don't. Clearly, devotion to Mary does not require either sentiment or strong feeling. Essentially, this devotion is much deeper. But instead of analyzing, which I could, the theology of devotion, which I won't, may I rather suggest 6 ways of growing in devotion to Mary. In my opinion, a Catholic who is devoted to the Blessed Virgin does 6 things. You can add a few of your own, but please don't subtract any. Such a person thinks of Mary. 2nd, reads about Mary. 3rd, talks about Mary. 4th, speaks to Mary. 5th, invokes Mary. And 6th, imitates Mary. Just a word about each of the 6 aspects of devotion to the Blessed Virgin. A person devoted to her will first of all think of Mary. Need anyone tell us that we think about the people we admire and love? In fact, a fair index of how much we admire or love someone is how much that person is on our minds. You hardly have to make an effort to think about the people you admire and love. In fact, the love may be so strong that we may have to try to keep the person off our minds at times when they shouldn't be on our minds. Otherwise, we will walk into people or trip over something in front of us. Don't tell me you love someone and you don't have that person on your mind. Clearly, however, we are dealing with the order of spirit, We are in the realm of the supernatural. Consequently, we must make an effort to think of Mary. And for that we need reminders of Our Lady. It may be a picture, or an image, or a symbol, but we must do something in order to bring her and keep her on our minds until it becomes habitual to have Marian thoughts on our minds. A person devoted to the Blessed Virgin reads about Mary. There is so much good literature in books and periodicals about Our Lady that it stands to reason, of course enlightened by faith, if we are devoted to her, we will want to learn all we can about her. We know just so much. Others know much more. Let's find out how eager we are to learn more again about the people we admire and love. And as we know, God has made sure that His Mother appeared so often in revelations approved by the Church. I honestly believe to keep us posted about His Mother. He wants to make sure that we don't forget her. Read about Mary in the Scriptures, in the lives of the saints, in the stream of literature about Lourdes, Fatima, Guadalupe, La Salette, and by now the scores of approved shrines where Our Lady, as far as the Church can approve, she has approved, telling us this is worthy of credence. Read about it. Find out more about it. We need that. Lourdes and Fatima are not to be a waste of Mary's time. And I feel so comfortable in talking this way because my whole cast of mind is not, as by now you must know, devotional. I mean in a sentimental, affective sense. But I know how well I know we need this. Again, one who is devoted to the Blessed Virgin talks about Mary. What we think and read about will give us much to talk about. I couldn't have put talking about Mary first. Logically, I put it third. We talk only about what's first on our minds. Hence, think about her, read about her, then you can talk about her. It is easy to raise some aspect, say, of Fatima in conversation. And you are ready for a as long a discussion as you want, depending on how much you and your fellow conversationalists know on the subject. Mary wants to be talked about. That's why she keeps coming in our midst so often. A devotee of Mary speaks to her. By this I mean just plain, ordinary conversation. This is pleasing to her and honors her son. Talking things over with her. Some can do it more easily than others, but all of us should try to cultivate a simple, colloquial, even as far as we can, habitual conversation with Our Lady. One of the surprises that I've had as a priest, it was a real surprise. My theology never prepared me for it. The amount of this kind of devotion among the laity, did you know that? I just wasn't ready for it. There was an easy, ongoing, so many tell me. I know professional businessmen. You'd never dream what that man is thinking about. You'd never dream unless he tells you. Or priests. Or bishops. And he won't mind my saying it, Cardinal Carberry. This is the way great Catholics live. They talk to Our Lady. Makes sense. She's alive. She is our mother. She is the mother of God. And she is always accessible. There is no one about whom the word affable can be used more properly than Mary. The one who can be spoken to . A fifth feature of a person devoted to the Blessed Virgin is that he or she invokes Mary. This is perhaps the most familiar and common form of Marian conversation. It is part of the daily life of every Catholic. Every Hail Mary we recite, and the scores of prayers, some of which we've memorized, that are, in effect, invocations of Our Lady. What bears emphasis, however, in this invoking of Mary, is that it should be done consciously. This is one of the, in fact it is the, built-in problem of vocal prayer. And so much of our vocal prayer is, in the nature of things, addressed to Our Lady. A rosary 53 times. To to make ourselves conscious of what we're doing. Secondly, that when we invoke Our Lady, we do it heartily. In other words, not just mentally conscious, but where do you describe what speaking heartily means? You know, when you're in conversation with someone, there's all the difference in the world between two people in conversation. One who is just talking, you might almost say to hear himself. And another person who is speaking from the heart. Moreover, when we invoke Our Lady, we should do so confidently, consciously, heartily, and confidently. That's why the Holy Spirit made sure of the first recorded miracle of the Savior would be the miracle of Cana. This was no raising of the dead. It was no grave problem or need. It was a simple embarrassment of a young couple on their wedding day. And they didn't even have to ask her, though we may be sure they would have, had they known whose mother she was. We are to invoke her confidently. Finally, and most importantly, one who is devoted to Mary imitates her. This is the acme of devotion to the Blessed Virgin. It is also the acid test of whether she means what she should in our lives.
For the conclusion of this homily, please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.